On today's episode of the Yazoo the Radio Show podcast, we're going to go ahead and talk about the FTM 500 firmware and software announcement. We put that out last week, but let's go ahead and tackle that subject today on the Yazoo the Radio Show podcast for Tuesday, November 28th, 2023. And welcome, everybody, to the Yazoo the Radio Show podcast. I'm your host, John Crook. Thank you for tuning into our show today. And we're doing our show a little bit differently today. That's right. We're kind of doing a little bit of experiment. We were asked to kind of do it, and we said, hey, let's go ahead and try to let's see if we can do it. And what today's experiment is all about is going to be that we are not only, obviously, releasing our podcast on our platform that we use, which is Podbean, but we are also recording the podcast here for it to be viewed on YouTube. That's right, our YouTube channel, Yazoo USA Official, is going to also, once the podcast is released in audio format, we are going to do the video format here. Probably nothing really spectacular, but, you know, hey, some people like to actually go ahead and see it. Maybe don't use Podbean, doesn't want to use Podbean, but they have YouTube, so hey, here is the option for you to go ahead and do that. So that's what today's podcast is going to be all about and a little fun experiment that we're doing here. But before we dive into today's topic, which I'll tell you what, has a lot of people excited and interested in it, we need to answer this big question we get all the time, and is, hey, where can I find this firmware update? Where can I find the ADMS software for this? Where can I get the information about the radios that I need? Manuals, that kind of thing like that on there. Well, you need to head on over to our Yazoo.com website. The answer is Yazoo.com. Head on over there, look in the upper left-hand corner, select products from the drop-down menu, and then select your category. And then once you select your category, you're going to be taken to that area, that grouping of the type of radio models that you have, and then you can select from along the top there, you can select which model radio that you actually have, and then from that point there, you'll be good to go. You'll be able to go to the files tab, you'll find firmware updates if they are released for that radio. You will find all the manuals on there. Yes, some radios do have multiple manuals because they do multiple functions. You know, no sense in going ahead and trying to give you a huge, thick Bible of manuals for maybe features that you don't use. That's why we have it all listed on there. Once again, that's at www.yazoo.com for all your information needs. Oh, and if you need access to our UK or Japan sites, click on the icon in the upper right-hand corner of the webpage, and you'll be taken to their pages specifically. Alrighty, let's jump into the topic at hand today. It's an exciting topic, and that is the release of the FTM 500 firmware. The FTM 500 firmware came out, and it's been one that's kind of been worked on for a while. I know a lot of people said, why isn't there a firmware out? Why isn't there a firmware out? Why isn't there a firmware out? I need this. I need this. Same thing with the ADMS software. Our ADMS software is our free software version for the FTM 500. And people are like, when is it coming out? When is it coming out? Well, guess what? We were waiting to do this release of the firmware to be able to do the release with the software. For some people, they're going to understand what I just said there. For other people that don't, that's quite all right. We understand it. Not a problem whatsoever. But what it is that, and this is a critical part of the software-firmware combination going on here, okay? And what that is that in this case here, you need to download and update the firmware in order to be able to use, okay, so you're following, in order to be able to use the software, right? A firmware update is needed to use the software. Now, at the time of the recording of this podcast here, we've already received numerous people that are saying, I can't get your ADMS software to work. ADMS 16, by the way, that's going to go ahead and be the software that you're going to need to use. Once again, as we said, go to the files tab on the Yazoo.com website under the FTM 500. And then from that point there is once you're on the website there, under the files tab, you can download the ADMS 16 software. But you need to update the firmware. Like I said, we already had people calling, hey, the firmware's not, or software's not working, software's not working, software. Yeah, did you download the firmware? Well, no. Well, you need to do that. Oh, okay. So once they've done that, they've gotten over that hurdle. Now, the reason is because some of the functionality of this firmware is dependent, like it's going to be dependent upon the software. So if the software couldn't operate the options that we added in the firmware, then that's going to be the problematic. But before we dive into the firmware, let's concentrate on the software first. So people always ask, and I said, John, like your software is so basic, it this and this and that. Yeah, it is. It is. Our ADMS software is a simple interface type software that we have for our radios. Now, it is not one software piece, let's call it that way, programs all radios. No, there are individual software programs for the radio. In this case, the ADMS 16 software is going to be the one that is going to be required for the FTM 500. You're not going to be able to take like an ADMS 14 or ADMS 11 or whatever, and program it. You can. And the reason that there's different software per the different radios is because each radio has a slightly little different aspect of things to it. If you've played with an FTM 500, you already know and understand how much of a different radio this is over the 300, over the 200, over the older 100 and 400 series. I mean, with the 500 right now, we are talking an Ivy League radio for usage, for operation, in a mobile environment, in a base station environment, for PDN, and for anything VHF, UHF in general, right? So that is why you have to have the specific ADMS 16 software. I know some people say, man, you know, it's just another software to clog the pipe and everything like that. I know you think of that, but that's why our software is very basic and very simple. It is, in essence, simple data entry, folks. That's all it is. Go ahead, put the SD card, okay, in the radio, format the SD card, then write to the radio. You got to write to the radio what's in the radio already. And people, so that's another thing when people get tripped up. Well, why do I need, if it's about the FTM 500, why do I need to write it? Well, our software can be used with the different versions of the FTM 500 that are out there in the world. There is a North America version. There is a UK or European version. There is a Japanese version. There is an Asia, Oceania version. There's different regions of the world. And the reason that we have the different regions is largely based on the fact that, guess what? We have different operating classes, frequencies, those kind of things like that. So the radio needs, or the software needs to know what radio it's dealing with, right? I'll give you a good example. North America, we have the 144 to 148 and 430 to 450 frequency band coverage, okay? Guess what? European models, 144 to 146, 430 to 440. Okay, the software doesn't know that until it sees the file from the radio, and that's why you have to read it. And that's one of the biggest mistakes, like I said. People will download the software to start typing. Hey, that's great. Hey, that's fine. You want to go ahead and do that? I'm not going to complain or anything like that. But the issue is going to go ahead and be is that when you do it that way, the software doesn't know what it is. The software won't know if it's the U.S., or I should say North America version, the R version, or the E version, or one of the others. So you got to read it first. I just can't stress that enough. We get so many calls. I get so many emails and calls and stuff. People are saying, John, it's not working. It's a flop. What is going on? All that kind of stuff like that. And I tell them straight out, there's nothing wrong with it. Let's talk about the steps. And once again, they get the steps. And I'm like, dude, here's the reason why. You didn't go ahead and follow the steps. The steps, insert the SD card for the 500 in this case, or the other models too, but we're talking about 500 today. Put it in there. Format that SD card. And you don't need a huge SD card. Let's go off on that tangent for a minute here, okay? You don't need a huge SD card. Like 16 is very sufficient, okay? 32 is the max, and that's way overkill. That is a lot of SD card in there. But guess what? That's fine. You can use whatever you want, but no more than the 32 gigabytes. But then that's, you got to format it in the radio. Very simple instructions on there. Tap, 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 format, boom, you're good to go. Write to the radio and write all the settings to the radio, folks, not just the frequencies, write all the settings. Cause the frequencies are that one aspect of things. That's fine. But the software needs to see the big picture. Okay, the big picture here. It doesn't need just a frequency list. It needs to see everything in general. And then when that goes ahead and happens, that's when you can go ahead, get it into there, put it into your computer, open up the software. You're going to have to read from the SD card, make your changes that you want to, save back to the SD card, and then take your SD card out, put it into your radio, and then go ahead and update it. So basically read from the SD card. Now, a lot of people are saying, John, that's really a lot of hassles and steps and everything like that to do it. Yeah, for the starting part, okay? Once you got it all programmed, once you initially did that thing, anytime you want to make a change, pull that SD card out, just put it in the computer right away, make the changes, or, you know, read it, okay? Read it, make the changes, then write it back to the SD card, put it in, and you're uploading. And then you're fine. You're good. You're good to go in that case, okay? It's just that first time you got to update the SD card and then basically read, or I should say write to the SD card on there for your purpose. Now, this is going to be provided you don't make changes from the front of the radio, okay? It is a back-and-forth kind of thing, folks. So if you program the software, use the programming software, program it on your computer, put the SD card into the radio, you read from the SD card, and you start operating it, but then you're like, ah, shoot, I put the wrong CTCSS tone, or I put the wrong frequency completely, or I don't like that name. If you make any changes on the radio, then remember, you still have to write to the SD card, because if you pull the SD card out, it doesn't automatically update. And that's another kind of pitfall that people have or they don't understand on there. So always make sure your SD card is up to date, and then you're going to be good to go. So that's the software component on it. And this is the same software component for all the other radios. So don't just think that this is a unique thing that's only impacting the FTM 500. No, not in any way, shape, or form. It does go ahead and impact all of our radios with the ADMS programming software. Now, when we're talking about the ADMS programming software, if you want to do large imports, you want to do something like that, what you're going to have to do here in this case, and unfortunately you're going to have to do it, is that you are going to have to export a .csv file. Alrighty. So you can go into, once again, read the radio, as we kind of say, read the radio. Now what that means is that means write to the SD card in the radio, take the SD card out, put it in your computer, and read the SD card. That is the combined term of read the radio, if you get, you know, my quotation marks there. But once you've done that, then what you can do is you can export the .csv file. And that's going to basically be like a glorified Excel sheet. Now, let me tell you something here. Be very careful. If you need help on this, go to our Yaesu.com, Yaesu USA official YouTube channel. Alrighty, and if you might be watching this video here, this podcast, a recorded video here, you might be watching that there. Go take a look. I believe it was episode 7 or 8, one of the two. We talked about programming, and that is key fundamental. And the reason it's a key fundamental thing is because when you export into the .csv, Excel likes to say, I know what I want to do. I know how to format this. And we'll put it in a format or type of format that the columns in the representation of what needs to go in there will stay the same, but it will change a few things, if that makes sense, all right? And what you need to do in that case is you need to correct those changes that Excel did. And sometimes, you'll see sometimes like they'll be jumbled, like because it's all scrunched up. Expand the rows if you need to a little bit. Whatever you need to do, just go ahead and do it, and then check to make sure that that data is there. If you don't, what's going to happen is that you'll import it into the software, and the software is going to give you an invalid import or invalid file type or data kind of things differently and stuff like that. That's going to happen, and there's no way around that in any way, shape, or form, because you just have improperly formatted data. So once again, go over to, once again, Yaesu USA official on YouTube. That is our official Yaesu USA YouTube channel. There are a few other YouTube channels that call themselves Yaesu. They're not the official ones. We are. Okay, you'll see videos from us on there. And then look up, I think it was episode 7 or 8. And you might have to check, because there's some that were live that were recorded, and there were some that are actually videos. So check between the two of them. You'll see episode, I want to say it's 8, but maybe it might be 7. And it's going to walk you through on how to program. We go through a couple different options for radios for programming. But the import-export thing, that is going to stick pretty tried and true to exactly what is going on there. So we're going to hop in here. And, you know, so now let's hop into this firmware. Because this is a pretty big release of the firmware, in my honest opinion. And I've never seen one like that before. And the reason being is that it holds a lot of lot of data on there that is a pretty significant change, because this isn't just, hey, we're updating the firmware because we're fixing, you know, lines of code or improving on things or whatever. No, we're actually adding some features into there. But before we dive into that, let me take a moment here real quick and to say, you know what, this format we're doing today real quick, this streaming it on our podcast channel with Podbean, I should say recording it to playback later, as well as YouTube, was suggested by you, the customers, the listeners, the people that make Yaesu successful. Don't be afraid to reach out to us and have any ideas for the shows or anything like that on there. Please feel free to go ahead and do that. You can reach us through our contact us page at yaesu.com. That's always the best way to go ahead and do it. Because if you have an idea or subject matter about a show and you send it in, we may discuss it internally. We may have one of our technical support experts. We may have someone or something that we know. Hey, you guys want to hear about this? Well, guess what? We know of a group doing that. So hit us up at the contact us page at yaesu.com. Go ahead and put it under your general questions. That will get to one of us on there. Please, please, please. And when you get in there, if for the subject line or at the top part of the narrative or the paragraph on there, please go ahead and write podcast show ideas. Or if you do know my email direct, feel free to go ahead and shoot me an email and we'll do that. We've had a couple great suggestions for shows coming in and we're going to try to test out this format and we'd like to hear and see what everybody is thinking about in regards to that. Okay, so now, talking about this firmware update here. This firmware update, first of all, I'm going to go over the version of the format, or I should say the version of the firmware that should be in your radio. And I want to stress this, folks, because we've had people that they get the radio brand new and kind of at a time that a firmware update is being issued, they may automatically go and think that the radio, for some reason, on the dealer shelves are sitting there and they're not of the current update. And that's not always the case. So grab your pen, grab your pencil, whatever, whatever. You're going to find out that the main and sub version is going to be 1.10. So 1.10 or 1.10, that's going to be the newest firmware version that's out there as of November 22nd, 2023. The C4FM DSP, so digital signal processor firmware, is going to be 7.20. And that's what's going to be in, or what you need for the DSP. Now, the only reason I say that is at the time of this podcast recording, we have a really, really, really great deal going on the FTM500s. And with these FTM500 deals, they're flying off the shelf. They're flying off the shelf. Not only are we as Yaesu given a discount, but also the dealers are. So the radio's coming in. We're kind of always at that apex where we might have a few radios still coming in that might not have current firmware, or we have radios that have come in and they already have the new current firmware. So check your radio first before you go updating firmware. We've had people that have had radios come in and then they have the old version of the firmware, okay, because there was one also released on the 500 a few months ago. And then they go ahead and like, oh, I need to update it. And they think that it's not updated. And actually what it is, you have the newer firmware and you just pulled the radio back to an older firmware. And that's going to cause operational issues. So what is all included in this firmware? Well, I'm glad you asked. So first of all, we added the support for the ADMS-16 software. We talked about ADMS-16 in the first part of the show. We're not going to cover that again, but you need to have this firmware in order to be able to use it. Now, one of the big things that people said about the FTM500 when you're using the AESS, so Acoustic Enhanced Sound System, which basically is going to use the front and the rear speakers, it's going to direct the low and the mid-range part, the lower mid-range, I should say, part off one speaker, and then kind of that upper mid-range and the upper range off another speaker, and it's going to balance that audio. If you have a 710, you know this with the AESS version. You have a 710 with this, you know how beautiful it sounds, and if you played the FTM500 with this, you know how beautiful that sounds. Well, one of the things is, and you have to think how the electrons flow, right, through the audio system. What happened is that you need to take both audio paths. Well, we were able to go ahead and do some updating, and now what it is now you have the independent operation of the main and the sub volume controls when doing AESS. Previously, your one volume control would adjust both the main and the sub. not a problem for some people, but if you were using it in a main and in sub and you had two separate frequencies, when you would turn the volume up for your main side of the radio that's being impacted by AESS, that sub on that other frequency would also increase. But, excuse me, the issue is that it would not go ahead and AESS that second signal. It was really weird how it was. But now we have that on there. You can have independent operations on there. Because some people said, you know what, I want to kind of adjust that, balance that out level. I don't want that other station here. Whatever the case may be. Plus, they don't want to shut off that extra receiver. Fine, not an issue on there. Now, this next one is actually kind of a cool thing. If you are not aware, on some older radios, so like the 300, the 2, back definitely the 100 to 400, you had the option to interface with the camera speaker microphone. Plug it inside a radio, take the picture with it, or use it as a general speaker microphone. The 500, because it has a microphone jack in the front, it has a speaker in the front, it has the SD card, it has a touchscreen, a lot of data traveling through there. We did not go ahead and put a data jack that can handle or facilitate the camera speaker microphone on the radio. So with the FTM500, you can't use that to take pictures and send pictures. However, we added a feature that you can use a JPEG with an import function. Now, with this import function, if you have any pictures that are what they consider QVGA or smaller, QVGA, so that's kind of, if you look up, it gives you the, if you look up online, you can see what the sizing of the QVGA is, but it's a relatively small picture. Reason it's a relatively small picture is largely based on the fact that it needs to be small to travel. I mean, if you're transmitting a large picture, not going to do good. Not going to do good at all. So if you have that on there, you can actually save it to the SD card and put it into there and then upload it for image transmission or viewing. Now, this might be that time you're looking at a 32 gigabyte card, but once again, a small resolution picture. And we're talking like the old cell phone kind of picture size. I mean, it's not that huge on there. So you can do that, upload that picture, and then you can transmit that picture if you want to, or you could just view it on your display on there. Because remember, the FTM500 is color touchscreen. All right, next one on there. Improvement providing the ability to read and write multiple backup files, folks. Multiple backup files save the SD card. So this has been something people have said for a long time, like, hey, I travel a lot and I want to have my setup and stuff like that for, you know, my home and then vacation and then whatever, all the place, right? So in that case, what's happening is that now you can have different profiles. Even more so, another good example is that, you know, hey, like my house. I have my vehicle. My wife has her vehicle. If we have FTM500s in there, maybe I hop in and I want to use my profile. I want to be under my call sign, my settings, my things that I like, okay? But then she can hop in and activate her profile. So you can do up to 10 backup files, 10 total, okay? Another one, nice one, and I really like this one. Because if you've tried to use WireZX with the FTM500, you had to be on the specific band. And actually, it was the specific main side on there. But the main side didn't follow the main. So it's like you had the initial main, you had the initial sub. Well, if you hit the WireZX button, when you were on the initial main, it would go ahead and it would transmit, do the handshake data burst for WireZX. But if you switched the initial main with the initial sub, then what happens when you try to do WireZX would say, no, you have to hit that little kind of like arrow circle button and then switch it back. Well, guess what? Change that. You don't need to worry about the bands anymore. If you're on, you know, hey, you're on the main right now, but you got the sub band, excuse me, is the frequency you want, then you can go ahead and then do that sub band on there. And with that sub band on there, you can go and then basically, in essence, do the WireZX handshake now. So, really nice improvement over there. One of the other things that we improved on was the ability to call WireZX functions from the current channel during PMG mode. So, primary memory grouping, okay? That is really kind of nice. If you haven't used it, take a look at it. It's grouping things together, not memory auto grouping, but this is where you're taking those like five individual frequencies, whether they're VFO, whether they're memory, whatever the case may be, and you're kind of throwing them into a quick bank. I hate to say bank, it's better to call it group. But what would happen is that you'd have to exit out of it to do Wires X. So if you had a Wires X repeater or a frequency used for Wires X operation, you just have to be on that one, exit out of the PMG mode, then go to that frequency, and then do the handshake provided you were on the right, you know, with the right side was up and running. So we added that functionality on there. Okay. Next also thing too is when you're in PGM mode, we improved it, the permitting of the current channel information registering in PMG to be transferred to the VFO by holding down the band M and V keys. So what happened a lot was is that people would go along and they would put stuff from PMG into the memory. And then what they would do is they want to bring it out of the memory. Well, they really couldn't, or I should say PMG, and they really couldn't. So now we added that easier functionality to go ahead and be able to do that. Now, option or part option number eight, I should say, is that we looked at it from the APRS standpoint. And one of the things that people wanted to go ahead and do is they said, you know, there's really no heading up compass beacon details in the display. They want to be able to have it just heads up. Some people just like, you know, hey, heads up north. They know, they look at it and know that, okay, if, how do you say, like, I'm off to the left or off to the right or it's down below me and stuff like that. That was the compass direction. But now with the heads up, you have it going heads up, excuse me, and now you know that if you're looking at the heads-up display and something's up to the left-hand corner, well, I know that that's going to go ahead and be, you know, to this bearing direction. It's the way we present compasses. Okay, people read compasses and headings in different directions and stuff like that on there. So you know, once again, now it's like okay, heads up and it's upper left, it's to the northwest. It's upper right, it's to the northeast. Those kind of things like that on there. We added that on there. Now, the other thing we did was is you added the ability to call up the stationless screen with a long press of the sub dial when the APRS function is on. Now, I know one of the videos that we talked about in the past, we told people you had to use that customizable favorites list, that CFL. That was the easy way to get up your station list. Not anymore. APRS is on and stuff like that. Just push that sub dial. Boom, it's going to pop up that station list for you. Actually, frees up the customizable favorites list section on there. So it's really nice to there. The other thing that we added on was the ability to go ahead and activate the QSY function with a short press of the main dial while displaying a beacon in QSY information. So some people on APRS, they beacon out information and they might say, you know, like me, when I'm driving, I'll go ahead and to different events, shows and everything, I'll beacon out on APRS and I'll go ahead and put the frequency in there. 9 times out of 10, you're going to find me on the Fusion frequency, 145.5625. And so now what can end up happening is like, hey, I see John's APRS packet. I want to talk to John. And hey, I got a Fusion radio too. Now you can go ahead and do a short press of the main dial. Boom, that's going to go ahead and pull up that QSY. Now that's going to be when the beacon of the QSY information is on your screen. Okay? Going to be while it's on your screen. Then push that main dial. Boom, it's going to QSY on there. Put you in the VFO, kind of do that QSY on there. And then finally, what we do with all firmware updates and stuff, we do minor things behind the scenes, not necessarily feature updates or anything like that, but kind of do some general house cleaning, cleaning up some lines of code, integrating certain things on there, stuff that isn't really newsworthy or noteworthy on the outside of there. So that's the firmware. That's everything involved within the firmware. So go ahead, take a look at some of the stuff out on there and that firmware. I think you're going to like it. I really do think that you're going to go ahead and like it. And, you know, once again, it's easy to do now. You can do it from the SD card. You don't need to have a cable like you did before. One of the things I'm always going to go ahead and suggest when you are going ahead and taking a look at doing the firmware is go and in that zip file with that firmware, there's always going to be the instructions. I know we don't want to read instructions, but there's always going to be instructions. You do need to read those instructions on there. So until then, everybody, I want everybody to take care, stay safe, and we'll go ahead and catch you on the bands.